Mary Poppins has followed the east wind from London and landed on Broadway. The star of a book and movie has become the center of a lavish $20 million musical. This show opens Thursday night, but if you are expecting a live-action replica of the Julie Andrews film, you will be in for a big surprise. Here's reporter Jeff London.
If you see Mary Poppins on Broadway, you'll hear this song.
A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
But you won't hear this one.
Stay awake, don't rest your head.
And where did this song come from?
A nanny should govern, a nanny should rule.
The new stage version of Mary Poppins has been a hit in London for the last 2 years. It's a hybrid of the much-loved Walt Disney film and the somewhat tougher-minded P.L. Travers stories about a magical English nanny and the troubled family she comes to save. There are new characters, new plot points, and new songs. The show is co-produced by Disney and Cameron McIntosh, the mega-successful producer of Cats and Phantom of the Opera. Thomas Schumacher, president of Disney Theatrical Productions, says they each had something the other needed.
We at the Disney Company never had the stage rights. Cameron acquired the stage rights from Pamela Travers. But of course, she did not have the right to grant him the rights to use the music.
So, in 2001, Schumacher flew to London to meet with McIntosh, who suggested combining new, more theatrical songs with the classics by the Sherman Brothers from the film. He pulled out a demo recording of Practically Perfect, a song his colleagues George Stiles and Anthony Drew had written to introduce the character of Mary Poppins. The songwriters played it for NPR last week.
I'm practically perfect in every way. Practically perfect, so people say.
Disney's Thomas Schumacher says when he heard that song, he was immediately sold. Stiles and Drew got the job.
In that moment, the whole idea that we could now create a comprehensive theatrical score using the beautiful songs from the movie, new stuff, and weaving it together, that it was not only possible, but it could be fantastic.
I'm so practically perfect in every way.
But composer George Stiles says the assignment was intimidating.
The brief was to produce something that felt like it was the work of a singular intelligence. And we realized that there were going to be these totally worldwide known songs like Supercalifragilistic, like Feed the Birds, and it was going to be very hard to put other stuff in there that was in any way we felt as significant as those big songs.
Feed the birds, tuppence a bag.
Some of the Sherman Brothers songs, like Feed the Birds, remain intact, but many have been altered with new lyrics or additional melodies.
We were always of the opinion that it would be a mistake to simply put the movie on stage. You have to make things work in a theatrical setting.
One of the show's biggest and splashiest set pieces is Jolly Holiday, which has a completely new counter melody by Stiles with lyrics by Drew. And it serves the show's plot. In this version of Mary Poppins, the children are much more difficult than in the movie, and they complain about being taken to the park.
Bert lays out the idea of the park and says, oh, you're going to have a great time, kids, because it's a jolly holiday with Mary. No wonder that it's Mary that we love. And the kids are left boring, just like other nannies, thinking parks are good for us. It's just statues, ducks and grannies. I don't understand all the fuss. Is she doing it despite us? We could lose her for a lark. Perhaps it's all a plot. I'll tell you what, she seems so different, but I bet she's not. There is nothing to excite us in the park. At which point the statue of Neelius breaks into life above them. And of course there's much to excite them in the park.
In the movie of Mary Poppins, Jolly Holiday is a memorable sequence which combines live action with animation. Producer Cameron McIntosh says the stage version substitutes pastel-colored sets and dancing statues.
We replaced animation with dance. You can do things in dance and ballet which, you know, you can't do in other ways of dramatization, and that's what allows the flights of fantasy to take wing.
This being Mary Poppins taking wing can be quite literal. It gives nothing away to say that the production team has found some breathtaking methods of levitating not only the central character, but others in the show. Composer George Stiles says Mary Poppins brings that sense of possibility to the dysfunctional Banks family.
Literally anything can happen in the story. And I think what we wanted to do is that anything can happen in real life, in your own life. She uses magic to demonstrate that, but the real magic that she brings is to cure this family of its lack of love. Anything can happen, it's a marvel. You can be a butterfly
or just stay larval.
Stretch your mind beyond fantastic. Dreams are made of strong elastic.
Matthew Bourne has co-directed and choreographed Mary Poppins. He says the new song makes the show soar.
It's a very emotional piece. It's not just, oh, isn't it nice when she flies away at the end? You actually feel really touched and moved by the story of the family.
Mary Poppins opens at the New Amsterdam Theatre on Broadway on Thursday night. For NPR News, I'm Jeff London in New York.
To hear more of the new and rewritten songs from Mary Poppins, including a modern-day twist on supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, go to npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
When Stone Age men were chatting, simply granting would suffice.
Now if they'd heard this word, they might have used it once or twice.
That's right.
I'm sure Egyptian pharaohs would have grasped it in a jiff.
Mm-hmm.
Then every single pyramid would bear this hieroglyph. Oh, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Saiyans and wild animals would not seem so ferocious.
Add some further flourishes, it's pseudococococious.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.